this morning. I told a story some time ago about a friend of mine that I overheard a conversation with one of our professors, future professors at that time, that asked him a question. He walked up and he introduced himself to him and he said, hi, how are you? What is your name? My name is. And they began this conversation and he said, what do you do? And my friend began talking to him and telling him what he did. And what he was telling him was what job he had and the things that he did at that job, what he had done in his life. And the professor said, that's very interesting. Now, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And I don't think that he had any intentions at that moment of changing the direction of his life, that being his job, his profession. But he started thinking and he started contemplating, what am I doing with my life? What am I going to do with the rest of my life from this point on? And it started eating at him. And he began thinking and talking with his wife. And they began deciding some changes in their life. And he and I ended up going to the School of Preaching in Texas together. And so we spent 2 years there together. And we studied and were in each other's homes a lot, he and I, or mostly actually at the library, where we spent most of our time studying together. And we began thinking about, what are we going to do? And a big change in my life, a big change in his life, when we made that choice. And I think about our young people, and they're constantly asked, what are you going to do with your life? What if we asked ourselves the same question as a church? What are we going to do with our life? You see, it's not all that important about what we do to secure a job, a position, to pay the bills, as we say. Those things are fine. But what are we going to do with the rest of our life spiritually? What are we going to do as the life of this church? What are we going to do? And it all comes down to this. What are you going to do? What are your plans for the future? Proverbs chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. I want to just share some thoughts of those three verses with you this morning. I think we, not only as individuals, but as a church, need to begin asking ourselves some very pointed questions about who we are and what we're about. What is our life? How do we relate, truly relate to this church? What is this church about? Who are we as members of this church? What are we about? And in thinking of that, I think the first question that we ask is, who do our plans belong to? Again, verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to man. Now, there is a lot of depth to that statement. And just as he begins this chapter, the very first thing, the plans of the heart belong to man. Plans of the heart. Do you ever feel that struggle, maybe a battle starting in you when you're about to make a decision and you go, well, I really want to do this, but your head is going, I'm not sure that this is the intelligent, smart thing to do. But I really, really want to do this. This is what I want, and I think I'm going to like it, and I think I really love that color and all of those things. And then your head says, yeah, but it's really bright. And I'm not sure everyone in our neighborhood's going to like fluorescent pink with bright purple accents on the house. But I love purple and pink. And I think that this is going to be the right one. What? What are you thinking? Y'all ever do that? so many times, and I mean, it gets to every little nook and cranny of our life, doesn't it? You get to a restaurant and you open up the menu and you go, I don't know what I want. We went last night to eat, and there were eight of us at the table, and there was another couple there, and the first thing out of her mouth was, what do you recommend? Why? What do you like? What do you want? What do you think you should? And so the emotions start, and that desires and those feelings are tugging at our heart. And then we get into serious things, and we start saying things like, I can't help feeling this way. This is who I am. This is what I am. And the emotions just take over and they begin taking us in a place sometimes that we really don't want to be. I want to be there, but I know my experience and all my knowledge says that's not a good thing. But it's so, I can't. And so we begin struggling. And then you listen to advice columns. And what do advice columns say? Follow your heart. It will never lead you astray. The plans of your heart, the things that you love, the things that you want so desperately, that's who you are. And you need to be true to who you are. And your heart will never, never fail you. Has your heart ever failed you? The problem is our heart lets us down all the time, doesn't it? We think that way, that it's not going to, but the emotions kind of get the better of us at times. How many of you have a Facebook account? Anybody? Okay. Have you ever experienced more raw emotions than you have seen and witnessed in the last 10 or 15 years? I don't even remember how old Facebook is. At least 10 years. Have you ever seen or witnessed more raw emotion than you have in the last 10 years in all of your life? People will share everything on Facebook. I'm embarrassed. I turn red when I read some of the things that people put on there. Like, my word, are you for real? Why are you sharing these things? Because it's my heart. I want you to know what I'm feeling. No one needs to know that you're feeling that. Okay? You need to get a grip on that. You need to grasp what you're saying. Get out of your body for just a minute and look at yourself typing that on that screen and go, "Woo! I shouldn't have said that." Maybe you should do that before you said that. Why do we do that? Why do we put things out there for people to read, people to see, and you just go, Because I've been told over and over and over, your heart will not fail you. Say what's on your heart. Tell people what you really believe, what you think, and all that emotion, let them know. And everything is going to work out. Does it always work out? No. They don't. But the plans of the heart, it says, belong to man. Now I want you to understand something. God knows who we are because God created us. Did God create us to be emotional beings? Yes, He did. As a matter of fact, the shortest verse in the Bible says what? Jesus wept. Great emotion consumed Him when He lost someone that He deeply cared for. Emotion that God created within us. God gave us those feelings. God gave those emotions to us for a reason. But too many times, we don't know God and we don't understand why God created us the way He did. And therefore, we say, God made me who I am. God made me like this. God did this to me. And how do we argue that? Why do we have to argue? Did God give us strong emotions? Certainly He did. Certainly He did. But He also gave us a mind. He gave us an ability to reason. And just like Him, He gave us that reason. Now think back about Adam and Eve in the garden. Now they were created just like you and I. They didn't have any superpowers. They didn't have any of those kinds of things. They were man and woman just like us. Their hearts were filled with plans that didn't exactly coincide with God's plans for their life, right? They didn't do what God said for them to do. And when those things were, they faced them, they wanted to feel more like God. Their heart, their emotion. Now think about it. They were walking with God and talking with Him every day. Can you imagine being in the presence of God every day of your life? Literally talking and having a conversation with Him. The one who created everything that exists. And you are talking to Him. Seeing Him. Understanding this perfect relationship. Nothing hindering you. And then to say, I want to be more like you. I want something. And here those emotions come. And here comes those feelings. And all of a sudden they make a really bad choice. You see, I can't handle having all the wonderful things. I want something that I shouldn't have. But it looks right. It feels right. My heart really, really wants this because I haven't experienced it yet. So I'm going to take it and I'm going to eat this piece of fruit. Because I want to be like God. I want to be more like Him. What did they lose because of their heart? Because they allowed their emotions to take control of them. What did they lose? They lost everything. They were kicked out of the garden. They no longer had that face-to-face relationship with God. They no longer had all of those things that they'd had from the very beginning. They lost it because the plans of the heart belonged to us. And if we want our emotions to control our lives, they're ours. God made us an emotional being, and we can follow those if we choose. But look what he says. Not only do the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer, listen, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. How many of you ever heard that thing that says, think twice before you speak? You ever heard that? Why? Why do we think twice? Here's why. The first one is what comes from our heart. What we just, boom, we want to say immediately, right? This is what I want to say. This is what I want to do. The emotions take over. And too many times, that's what we do. But he says, what did he say again? The answer of the tongue is ours? No, he said the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And so what he's saying is this. We have all of these emotions, these plans, these ideas, these thoughts, and these are the things we want to do or say, but the reality is if we stop and we ask ourselves, is this mine or is this God's? How do I respond? How do I make decisions in my life? And he says, if we want to follow God, if we want the right kind of plan in our life, if we want the right life, the answer we give, the things that we say, the things that we do will be founded, deeply rooted in God. We'll not respond with an emotional response that throws the thinking and the reasoning part of our minds away and just allow the raw emotions to take over. That's what the writer is saying. The plans of the heart are man, but the answers of the tongue belong to the Lord. Nothing should ever come out of our heart or up from our heart and out of our mouth that's not given birth in the heart of God. That's why we stop and think twice. What do I want to say? What does God want me to say? What do I want to do? What does God want me to do? I'm going to reason things out here, and I'm going to ask myself a question. Is this the best, the most, the greatest decision that I can make? Is this what God would have me do? There's what is being said. Why is it that the heart and the mind seem so oftentimes in conflict with each other? The Proverbs writer just said it. Because our plans originate in our heart. Too often in our life, we let our emotions drive us in the things that we do rather than the cognitive ability of God and His training and teaching us in our life. Plans are man's, but our speech should be God's. Another question, verse 2. What does God actually see in our plans? He's saying, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. Our vision, have you ever thought you saw something and looked again, kind of blinked your eyes a little bit, and it really wasn't there? No, only me. I see things a lot and go, what was that? I've experienced it with other people when I was on the police department. There was an accident, and I would go and take my little book, and I'd walk around, and I'd say, did you see this? Yes. Would you tell me what happened? Okay. And then I'd go over to someone else, and I'd say, did you see this happening? Yeah, I saw it. What happened? And I write it down. And then I'll look at, did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. Okay, what happened? And you write it down. And then you go sit down, and you start looking at it, and you go, either none of them saw it, they're all lying, or they don't have a clue what's really going on. Because they all said something different about what happened in that accident. And so you start trying to piece it together, and you find out all of these things. Our sight is not the greatest thing. We think we have all the answers too many times. And every answer that comes up is good. Clean, as he says, sanitary, right, holy, righteous. However we want to look at it. I was having a conversation last night about a ghillie suit. Any of you know what a ghillie suit is? Ghillie suit's what the military sniper guys use to hide from other people. And when they put that camouflage on and it blends in with their surroundings and they're trying to hide because they're trying to be killed also. And the guy had this ghillie suit on, and he began sneaking up on someone. And the guy that was he was sneaking up on knew he was sneaking up on him, and he said, just try to find me. All right. And he went from about 100 yards away to he got within 15 feet of this man before he stood up and said, boo. How can you do that? How do you do that? It's because our eyes play tricks on us and we think that that man who has a gun underneath that little rug looking thing or the suit that he has on looks like the grass and the brush and the leaves and all that stuff on the ground. Our mind, our eyes are telling us what we're seeing is not what we're actually seeing. And it happens. I've done it. I've hid. We used to play the game at camp. Capture the counselor. And they would say, go hide. And I'm like, how long do I have to hide? Because y'all aren't going to find me. Yeah, you can't. We will. And I would hide literally. Well, I'd have to get down the steps. But from here to the front pew, from the road, I'm right there in the ditch. 125 kids walked by. Never saw me. Why? Because their eyes are telling them they're not seeing what they're seeing. And how many times in this world do we think we're seeing things in our life and all that's about us, and we think we understand or we see, but we really don't? And so we begin questioning those things. It's all about our ability to think through these. And he says, but the Lord, verse 2 again, the last part, but the Lord weighs the motives. And he says he uses the cognitive ability, his, which is even bigger and better and stronger than ours. But he said this is what we should be doing, emulating him. We're going to use our ability to think. God's vision is always, has always been, and always will be perfect. He created everything that exists. He understands every individual portion of creation beyond anything that we'll ever understand. God is perfect. But God doesn't simply ask, what did we do? He asks us, why did you do it? Why did you do that? And he wants a response. And he wants us to look at things that maybe didn't go so well and ask ourselves that question. Why did I just do what I did? And too often when we're asked that question, why did I do it? We can't give an answer. A child will do something, and psychologists will tell us at a certain age, there's no sense in asking a child why, right? Because they don't have a clue. Their abstract thinking hasn't kicked in yet. They're not old enough. But there's a point comes when we should have the minds to be able to ask those kinds of questions. Why did you do that? But too many times we fail to do it. God wants us to ask those questions. Why are you here this morning? Did you ask yourself that before you walked through the doors? Why am I here? Why did I get up this morning? Maybe you were tired. Maybe you were up all night. Maybe someone made you get up, but why did you get up? If you had a choice, why did you get up and come here this morning? What were the intentions of your mind and of your heart? And are those two things together? Why do we come here? What are the motives behind what you will do tomorrow with your life? Verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. What are we going to do with our plans? It starts with the head and goes to the heart. He says, commit your works to the Lord. Here's our head. What are we going to do today? What are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do tomorrow? And we start evaluating those things, and we start asking questions about why am I going to do what I'm going to do tomorrow? Why are you going to do it? Hopefully you have a thoughtful reason behind what you're going to do with your life. Our plans, the works, those things, he says, here is our head. Our head has to be involved in all of this. But then look what he says, and your plans will be established. Now listen closely. If you give your head, if you think deeply and seriously about your relationship with God, if you ask Him, God, what is life all about? How do I relate to this world? Help me understand life. Help me with all of those things. And God reveals all of these things to us. He will establish, what does He say? Your plans will be established. What he says is, if your mind is right, your heart is going to follow. And if you make a commitment to God and you say, God, I want a relationship with you, and I want to know what truth is, and I want to do everything that's right. I want my life changed. I want to be a follower of yours. I want to understand who I am, who you created me to be, and I want to listen to you. And so I begin reading about God and about man and about who I am and who God wants me to be. And I read all those passages, and I read every day, and I allow God's word to sink in as I'm reading His Word every single day of my life, not once a week when someone's reading to me, but every day I set aside a time to read God's Word. Did I say that? Every day I set aside some time to read God's Word. Every day I do that. Every day I say, God, I want to start out my life today with you. Every single day I do that, then He begins shaping my mind and my thoughts and my commitments. And then all of a sudden, when I've made those commitments, guess what? My heart follows. I love you, God. I see everything that you've done for me. I see what you did when you gave your life and shed your blood to purchase this church that you love so much. And I begin saying, I want to do, I want to help, I want to nurture, I want to do everything that I can to help this church have the future that you want it to have. I want to help this church make a difference with my next door neighbor or the neighbor down the street. I want this church to be the light set up on the hill. I want this church to be everything, God, that you intended for it to be. I want all of those things. This is what I want because I see what you've done for us in this world. You've loved us with such a deep love. How can we respond any other way? I give my heart to you because of all that I've seen you do, all that I've understood you to do. Now I want that relationship with you. I want to have this marriage, if you will, with you. When we start out with an emotion, it doesn't get us where we want to go. It tricks us. Our eyes trick us. Our feelings trick us. But with God, He's not going to trick us. And we begin to understand that relationship and what He's done for you. And you can ask yourself that. Write it down sometime. What has God done? Who has God put in my life? How has God blessed me in this world? What has He truly done for me? And when you begin that relationship, and the longer you go in that relationship, the more that you love, the more that you're connected, the more it rules your heart. Who has your heart today? You can answer that by saying, who has your thoughts? Who has your commitment? Have I given my life to Him? If we haven't given our life to Him, He can't rule our hearts. He can't. And the plans will still be ours, and they will still fail every time. So as an individual and as a church both, we need to begin making a greater commitment of giving our life, our thoughts to Him and allowing Him to rule our hearts. God is an awesome God and He loves us more than anything else in this world. What part of your heart does He not own? Does He own the whole thing? What are you struggling with in your life? God wants to help with that. All of us struggle with something. I know that. We're human. And so every day we give our life more and more to Him, and He controls us more and more. Are you ready for Him to control both your head and your heart? What are your plans for the rest of your life? Who's going to guide those? If God is, if you're ready to do that, and you want to become a child of God, you can do that today. If you all are, you've already committed your life. Maybe you've taken some of it back and said, I'm not sure that I really want to control it, Him to control me. Maybe you need to rethink that and understand the life that He has in store for you. So if there's anything we can do for you this morning to help you, encourage you in any way, publicly, we ask you to come right now while we stand and we sing a song. It's of Jesus' sake. Come on.